Hello, and this is another BullishZest.com political podcast. This time, I've met up with Rory Pendergast. Rory's campaigning hard for underdog San Diego mayoral candidate David Alvarez. We met up at David's tiny Encanto campaign office. There were a lot of kids, a lot of community members. You know, they were all very excited, so it's very noisy, but it was definitely a very interesting campaign. I got Rory to reflect on a lot of things, you know, Alvarez's growth in the polls over such a short period of time, how he was able to do that, which is interesting when you think about how campaigns are, you know, how people campaign. How do you grow in the polls? How do you get votes? And it's obvious from this last poll that Alvarez has been able to, you know, gain some definite traction there. You know, who's going to vote for him? Will San Diego traditional Democrats be able to come out and vote in significant enough numbers for him? Fletcher's more of like the new Democrat, used to be a Republican. You know, he's kind of this little bit of an independent voter, but registered Democrat, which is very common in San Diego. And Faulkner is the traditional kind of San Diego Republican, you know, kind of the beach Republican. I feel like that's the best way to describe him. Very low-key. You know, they're all nice guys. You know, but it was interesting getting Rory's take on the thing. Who's going to show up? You know, how did Alvarez gain so much ground in such a short period of time? You know, it's an interesting talk. So we chatted for a while, and, you know, you may agree with everything we said. You may disagree with a lot of it, and that's great if you disagree. You want to hop on your political soapbox, you can do that by hopping on ours. Just call 619-663-4531, 619-663-4531, and hop on the BullishZest.com political podcast soapbox. You may put it in the next podcast. So, here you go. BullishZest.com political podcast with Rory Pendergast. Enjoy.
Pep talk with David up there, and then
that's Faulkner's sort of home territory, Kearny Mesa, Claremont, that whole area.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and so it's David's got one of his headquarters is up there, right? Because you know the Democratic or the San Diego County
party
is up there.
Yeah,
so in that same sort of set of buildings is where where the main.
Did you see that last 10 news poll?
I did this morning. This morning.
Yeah.
And you know what's for me what's really interesting is the last poll they had. What was it, a couple of weeks ago, it had Faulkner at about the same amount, but it had Alvarez down at, I think, 16 or 15%, or there was a huge spread there.
Yeah.
And then Labor had their poll come out and showed that it was David who was basically neck and neck with Faulkner. And then, I don't know who did that, the one earlier this week. DeMar, something like that.
Yeah,
and that had about a 10-point spread between Alvarez and Fletcher.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they're looking at, you know, that 10 News poll. I don't know if it's likely voters or just voters in general.
What they claim, that all of them have been about 530 houses that they've called, and within that they ask, are you a likely voter? And that's somehow where they get some of these things. You know, kind of the interesting thing I was talking to my wife this morning about is, you know, they say that 86% of the people were on their landlines. And for somebody, I mean, I haven't had a landline in 5 or 6 years.
Oh, interesting.
So it is kind of interesting to see how these numbers are.
Yeah, but you get demographics, too. You know, I can look at that, and biggest change I noticed was Fletcher in that 35 to 55 range where he was owning that at, 42%.
Yeah.
Almost 45, 50%. He was really owning that area. That's gone way down for him. And it's almost a straight third split across everybody there.
Yeah.
And that was the most surprising thing for me.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that big of a shift in that demo right there.
Well, you know what?
Because those are your really likely.
Exactly.
Those are retired people show up at the polls.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, 18 to 35, they don't vote.
Yeah. Those are the people that were going to be out making calls, knocking on doors, trying to get them out.
Yeah, but
as
is it about getting your voters to vote to show up, or is it about getting new voters?
I think it's getting our voters to the polls, and that's the biggest thing. Is, you know, this, like, you know, right now we're in Encanto, and getting the people in District 4, getting the people in District 8, and I mean throughout the city, but getting our people out to vote. We do that, we get Democrats out to vote, and it's going to be Faulkner and Alvarez.
But in a non-presidential year and a special election in San Diego, do you think they're going to do that?
You know what's wild is that the Alvarez campaign, they've done the numbers, and they've shown that there's even in these off elections, yeah, that the amount of Democrats that vote, it doesn't fluctuate that much. And so our from what I'm told, our path to victory is, you know, getting those Democrats that consistently vote. If we can get half of them to vote for David, then we go into it. And I think what's especially fascinating is, look at the first poll that went out. You know, David had something like 7% of the vote, and now we're, you know, neck and neck with Fletcher. Fletcher at the one time had like 33% of the vote.
Yeah, yeah. It was one time at the very beginning of this.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, this is a lock for Fletcher. Maybe it'll be a Fletcher-Faulkner runoff. And now everybody's even questioning whether or not Fletcher's going to make it.
And you know, I got involved with David back in 2010 with his run for council, and that was through the San Diego County Young Democrats.
Yeah.
I just showed up at a meeting, and I said, what can I do? You go out there. And, you know, I first met him in this really quiet, kind of unassuming guy that nobody paid any attention to.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we hit the ground running, we knocked on doors, we talked to voters, easily made it through that runoff, and then easily beat the brother of the incumbent. And so what I've seen is when people get to know David, especially on a one-on-one basis, but when you get to know his values, what he's done, people like him, and they somehow seem to vote for him. And I think that's what we're seeing here is, you know, and when we started off, when you were in David's garage, the then headquarters, like 8-10 weeks ago, I mean, the big goal was getting his name out, getting San Diego to know who is this David Alvarez guy, and I think we've been very effective at doing that, and the polls have shown. And so now it's kind of, you know, as they say, the sprint to the finish.
Do you think that the Lincoln Club has inadvertently helped you guys out with all of their mailers?
Well, I don't
because
think
because it was so ironic to get a mailer from the Lincoln Club telling me that Fletcher wasn't a real Democrat and that I shouldn't vote for him because he's not a Democrat.
Well, there's nothing inadvertent about them, and all of this is calculated, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
they want
but
to
they
run.
Did that. But I'm saying, are you benefiting from their?
Oh, absolutely.
Totally inadvertently,
I think because
they're trying to convert Democrats to vote for Faulkner. Kind of in an unknowing way, right?
I think they want to run against David because it's easier for them, I think, or they believe that it's easier for them that it's going to be a straight Republican versus Democrat. Whereas I think their fear before was Fletcher can sound good, he looks good, and he was a Republican and he was a Democrat. So they want. And so Fletcher was able to kind of peel off from both sides, and they didn't want that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I mean, I think even if they weren't there, just through time, it would come out, you know, where are the values, where are we going? And so, I mean, without a doubt, I think it's easy to say that that those mailers help.
So you're
help.
Saying they want Alvarez to win.
Yeah, well, because, you know, here's the thing is that...
But what happens if... How do they then beat him?
Well,
right.
My guess would be is that they're going to bank on turning it to the experience level and trying to exploit this misnomer that because you've only been in the city council 3 to 4 years that somehow you don't
understand.
You're
35, you've only been in 3 to 4 years, blah, blah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And that would be my guess because that's what else do they have to do?
Well, they're also trying to set up Faulkner to be hit the pro-business guy.
Yes,
right? I mean,
yes.
He was an Allied Gardens... trying to get signatures to keep
the maritime
industry in
Barrie-Logan. He spent so much time in Allied Gardens, especially that Albertsons. I mean, almost every time you turn on the news, he's up there.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing what he's got to do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm certain that they have their game plan for what they're going to do as soon as this one's done. But I think for us, it's just exciting. We've got momentum. We've got all these people here. As you can see from the tens of people in this room, we've got some elected officials, and they're all out to, you know, kind of get the vote out, knocking on doors.
So Faulkner's in Allied Gardens trying to keep businesses, industry in Barrie-Logan. Why isn't he in Barrie-Logan?
Well, I think the simple fact is that, you know, David has said this time and again.
Because then David filed as part of that lawsuit the next day.
Well, it was the... So I think the biggest thing is you've got, you know, there were two votes on the council. right? Mm-hmm. There was the one where they approved it, and then when they ratified it.
Yeah.
And so what the shipping industries had to do is they basically have to collect double signatures, right? Because mm-hmm. they have to get the, what is it, 30 or 40,000 signatures yeah. to get it to, for when it first passed and then when it was ratified. So they're, yeah. what they're doing right now is getting the numbers for when it was ratified. Mm-hmm. And I think what you saw that lawsuit from the Environmental Coalition, and forgive me if I get the name wrong, I'm reading through all of these things, it's hard to keep track. But they filed a lawsuit saying that, look, these people who were paid and were out getting signatures were, in essence, lying. They weren't telling the truth, you know, saying that the Navy is going to leave, which the Navy has sent a memo out saying, look, we're staying out of this. We're not leaving. And then just practically speaking, I mean, there's not that much port space available in the U.S. right now, right?
Yeah.
So the Navy's not going anywhere. So the real key is that in that buffer zone where these... The businesses that service the Navy or service NASSCO, service these large places, their fear is that they're going to somehow get pushed out.
Yeah.
But as David has gone on, you know, he said this was the best compromise, mm-hmm. And I do think that they can probably get something done in between now and then.
Do you think this is part of a longer game on Faulkner? I mean, to help Faulkner short-term and long-term, right? Because he can say, well, look, I'm pro-business now.
Yes.
And then in the long-term, he can say, I'm pro-business, and Alvarez is not. Because Alvarez is fighting me against this thing, and I want to keep these union jobs. Right?
Yeah.
This is what he's going to say. I want to keep these union jobs, these shipbuilding jobs, these maintenance, these whatever other kind of industry jobs there.
Well, and I think that there's a... I think that he's going to say that regardless of what happens. The narrative of I'm pro-business, David is not, that's going to be there no matter what it is. And I think that when they... If the Lincoln Club or if Faulkner goes and attacks David on that respect, I think it's going to be a hard sell because first off, this is in David's district, right? Mm-hmm. It is benefiting his constituents, his people, his district that those jobs stay there.
Do you think the people in Allied Gardens are going to get that message?
I think that they will. If it comes out, there'll be explanations because here's the beauty is that so imagine now. You know, when you look at these debates, now it's just the two, so it can be a lot more focused, and that people that the candidates can really get down and start going at each other for really what are the assertions that the campaigns are making, what are the assertions that the supporters are making, are they true, are they not? And I do think that given time, once we clear this hurdle, I think that we're going to be able to show that hey, look, you know, David himself, he's got family members that have incredibly great jobs with the port. I think when he said with NASSCO or with one of the servicers of NASSCO. So I think that he's going to be able to say, to the extent that the Democrats say that, look, I am pro-business because we need to keep those jobs in this district.
But doesn't he want to get those industries? This is the message that they're pushing, right?
Yeah.
You want to get those businesses out of Barrio Logan, and therefore you're going to affect all of San Diego.
And, I mean, I think what would be great
is... it that you want to move them or modify them? You see what I mean? It's nuanced. Yeah. And then how do you communicate that nuanced message to people that this isn't in my backyard, but I still get to vote on it?
Well, what you're going to be able to see is that, look, this is a wealthy and small group who's trying to dictate what communities can and cannot do with their community plans. And whether this is happening in Barrio Logan, whether this is happening in Talmadge, whether this is happening in Allied Gardens. Mm-hmm. It says, do you, as a resident there, want to have some business that maybe doesn't have your best interest at heart, dictating what happens to you and exposing it to the general public to decide on what it is. And I think what you're going to see is, you know, so now you've got a lawsuit filed.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that impacts everything. But there's also going to be more information out there for people. Mm-hmm. And so the more that the Faulkner camp or his supporters are going to be pushing this idea, this black and white trying to polarize the issue, pro jobs against jobs, I think that it gives us and David, an incredible opportunity to educate really what is happening and use this to our benefit to show that, one, he's not trying to push out businesses. In fact, he wants to keep the businesses there. I mean, not only it's his district, but as you know, he lives half a mile away from where this is going on, maybe less than that. So I think that what it does is the more they talk about it, the more it gives David the opportunity to really explain really what is the plan, what is it going to do, and then to rebut these kind of, as the lawsuit says, these false claims made by the shipping industry.
Do you think the Latino voters are going to show up in the numbers that he needs for this one and then in January?
You know,
assuming he wins
with this one, I do think that we're going to get it. I mean, this is, as everything says, is, you know, people like the underdog, and people like when there's momentum behind that underdog.
But everyone's talking about the Latino voter, the Latino, yeah. You know, that as a powerhouse. And they've always been their powerhouse when it's a really tight election. You know?
Yes, such as this one. Yeah.
But,
well, I think that they matter all the time.
Yeah.
But I guess
they're going to show up in sufficient enough numbers two times in a row.
I do. I do think that we're going to see the voters are going to get out. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I don't think that the people are sick of what's going on. I think that people are sick of what happened, and they want real change. They want to put someone in the mayor's office that has integrity, that they trust. And I think that there is excitement around it. So I do think that there's going to get... Now, hey, it may not be as big as what we saw in November 2012, a year ago.
Yeah.
But I do think that we're going to see a significant amount. And I think it's going to carry the day.
You think that significant amount is going to be equal to the kind of that Republican voter turnout that you can almost count on like clockwork in a lot of ways?
Well...
They're like militant. A lot of times about
they
voting.
Are. They are. And you know
they
what's wild?
They will always vote, and they will always vote in unison with regard to specific issues.
Yes.
And they show up in big numbers.
Yeah.
And huge numbers.
Well, and with this one, I think it's easy for them to vote in unison. You know, they all got together and decided their candidate, who was going to be. And, I mean, from a strategic standpoint, I can see it. This initial part
of the race.
It's very easy.
Sides right away.
And you know, the other thing is that when you look at it is, you know, a year ago I knew what the numbers were, but in registered voters, the Democrats substantially outnumber the Republicans, right?
Well, it's like, what I saw last, it was like 60 or like a 55... 40 split, something like that.
Yeah, it was something.
Something like that. But the problem wasn't that the Democrats outnumbered. The problem for Democrats was that Republicans showed up.
Yeah.
Something like 85% of them voted, whereas for Democrats, it was something like 40.
I think it was like 45.
Yeah, it was really low.
The interesting thing is that it's from what the numbers show, in that in the city of San Diego, that there's consistency among registered Democrats voting, meaning if it's 45%, that it's the 45 on almost every election cycle, whether it be
so
the primary.
That group will always vote.
That group will always vote, yes.
Vote on your issues and almost for a ticket.
Yeah. And I mean, with this one, because it is a primary, so now it's a matter of what Democrat do we want to put up there. And I do think that we've been able to run, I mean, in looking at this campaign, you know, that as it sounds kind of silly to keep saying this, but it is a grassroots campaign. And, you know, we're calling people, we're knocking on doors, we're getting out there, and we're actually reaching voters. And so now it's a matter of what we're doing today, you know, the GOTV, getting them to the polls. When we get our people to the polls, we win.
Yeah. It would be interesting for me if it was an Alvarez-Fletcher runoff. I would love to see how the Democratic Party, local Democrats, deal with that schism, because that's sort of the neo-liberal versus kind of the traditional liberal.
And I think what you'd have with a lot of Democrats is saying, hey, look, we're going to have one of our guys in no matter what. Where it gets interesting is that, you know, from what I've, you know, from making the rounds on different stations, encountering hardcore Republicans, they seem to hate Fletcher. I mean, it's crazy. I've never seen anything like it because they feel burned. You know, here's this guy. He was,
they feel like he betrayed them.
He feel like they betrayed them. And I mean, and you know, when they say that, I mean, betrayal is one of the worst feelings you could ever have. And so that it would be interesting. I mean, we're of course not going
to
see it.
I would love to see that. So who's in charge more within the local Democratic Party? Is it this kind of traditional Democrat, which Alvarez seems to be more of a traditional Democrat?
You know, I think
and Fletcher has that kind of, it's trying to play that neoliberal.
Yeah, I think what you have is that, you know, you look at, here's the best way to explain it. When we went into the vote for the endorsement from the Democratic Party, what the other Democrats wanted to do was just get a no vote until we cleared this hurdle, right?
Yeah.
But, and we figured we'd get it. And it was a supermajority, so you had to get 60% of the vote. We figured it'd take two or three times to get there.
Yeah.
The first round, we got 63% of the vote endorsing David. So I think that what it is that people understand, you know, he's the trusted guy. He's got the steady leadership from what they've seen. A guy who cares about his community, cares about the city, has stuck to his values. You know what you're getting. You know you're going to get a hard worker. And so I think that, in an overwhelming majority, that supermajority from the county party got him in. And, I think that's what we're going to see more and more, because you have, with the different groups going on here in San Diego, you've got young Democrats that are getting themselves prepped, coming together, educating ourselves, getting this great network of people that can actually do something, getting people on commissions, getting people on boards.
Is there kind of a turn back to that more traditional kind of Democratic look? For a long time, it felt like everyone was moving into that kind of, at least in San Diego, it felt like it was a very sort of bipartisan Democratic Party in a lot of ways. Like anytime a Democrat ran, it was, oh, look, he's out, David's outside.
Should we go see him?
They're not letting him in. Oh. They have it set up so he can go out there, but many people went and ran outside. This is your tornado slash campaign manager for Encanto. She's pretty incredible. She came in here. She had all of her little sister and her kids working for her. And they were moving couches and
stuff. Hey, that's fantastic.
She changed her mind.
That's the support. So should we go have a look?
I'm going to hang out. He's going to encourage her. Let me see who's here. KUSI. Looks like XCTV is here. Oh, look, who did we send? Oh, we've got our... Fox 5 has our part-time guy right there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have Francine Busby's here.
Oh, Busby's here? Oh, well, she should be, right?
Yeah.
She really should be. And we're all in the shot, just over David's. Don't make any bunny ears or funny faces. It'll be all over the news. It's interesting how everything moved outside real quick. Got real quiet here. Everybody was inside getting all ready and excited.
Well, I think you get a better... You get the... Woo!
Sure, if you can. I'll hang out here.
I'll go ahead and hit pause and then we'll come back. I'm not going to run my stuff out there. I know what's going on. It's a press conference. I've covered a ton of these before.
He's rallying all his people, but, not to do a play-by-play, but he was so underestimated from the get-go. And now he's got a real shot. That's what's really been fascinating for me, is how he's been able to gain that momentum and kind of gain that name recognition and become because at the beginning everyone was like David Alvarez. He's going to be like Mikey Gary.
Yeah.
Because Mikey Gary had a ton of name recognition, but nobody wanted to vote for him.
Exactly.
No one knew David Alvarez.
Yeah.
It's just been interesting to see how much he's been able to grow and become, even amongst criticism like, he doesn't have a personality. That's been one of them. Because he's low-key.
Yeah, he's super low-key.
He's super low-key.
But what I've noticed, especially in these, this last week, these debates got really heated, where you have a couple of the candidates really going at each other. And Aguirre really getting fired up, going at it. And you look over at David, and you're just like, this guy is cool, calm, collected. And then, I've been carting him around to some of these media hits and staffing him a little bit. And the entire time, I'm more nervous than he is.
Yeah, you're pretty worked up when you come in. You're all like this. No, it's just interesting. I wonder do you know what the numbers are for like areas like Encanto?
I don't.
Do people get out here and vote? I know they do in Kearney Mesa and Claremont. I've seen those numbers.
I'm sure that Travis, who's on Alvarez's staff, I'm sure he's got all of that stuff. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that I knew that I knew that this is what was where we were going to be at. I guess I didn't quite realize that the Fletcher was going to have such a fluctuation in the numbers. But Washington
was really surprising.
Yeah,
it was really surprising.
Except David said at the outset. He said, all of these candidates have to spend their money to convince the voters of something, you know, mm-hmm. maybe convince the voters that you are the Democrat, mm-hmm. or convince the voters for Faulkner that he is the Republican, or the other guy is the Republican. Yeah, yeah. Whereas David says, all I got to do is get my name out. I just got to get people to know me. And when they know me, you know, when I first met him back in 2010, I just thought, you know, hey, look, I'll go for a walk, or go walk a precinct, see what's happening. Mm-hmm. But, and I spent about 10 minutes with a guy and just talking with him, and he just has this presence about him. And then it instantly, you could just tell that there's a good
when
soul.
When we first interviewed him, at the very beginning, he was worn out, first off.
Yeah.
The end of the
what, 8 o'clock at night or so?
Yeah, and he'd been up since 6 o'clock.
His wife was calling saying, it's my mother's birthday, where are you at?
Yeah. And he's shown up and given me an interview. But I tell you, by the end of it, once he actually relaxed, he definitely opened up a lot more.
Yes.
And I kind of get the feeling he's got stage fright a little bit.
I think he's
very reserved because he doesn't want to, like everybody, you get on stage, you don't want to screw up.
Yeah. Oh, he's making sure we get everybody.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what I've seen?
Yeah, but I love these kinds of things, though. I mean, I like it wherever it is. It's just fun. I just, you know, you get this same kind of enthusiasm in all the things. You know?
Yeah.
I just, that's something that I really kind of enjoy in a lot of ways.
It is. It is. Well, I mean, I think it comes down to that, you know, everyone wants to make their life and make everything better.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a chance that we really think, you know, especially we can have a candidate that you can believe in.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, you look at all of these faces out here. And, I mean, he's been able to open up. You know, he's got his headquarters for South San Diego, the headquarters here in Encanto. And we can get the secretary of the Democratic Party down from Santa Barbara to walk.
Take him to campaign stops with you.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
I was thinking the same thing.
You get people going. Yeah, you got to get this guy to follow David around. And get...
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
Myrtle Cole. You know, I feel like Myrtle Cole's another one of those in the same spot that David was in, where she's kind of known in her district.
Yeah.
But outside her district, nobody really knows anything about her or who she is. And, you know. You go to somebody in Kearny Mesa or Ranchburg, Pensquitos, you know, who's Myrtle Cole, and I have no idea.
Yeah, and I think that's what happens often. I mean, it's
but
the same
thing. Is that about a division in the community? Is that because there's separate lives, right?
Well, I do believe so. And, you know, when they talk about neglected...
The eight cuts cuts across the city.
Yeah.
If you're south of the 8, you're on one kind of San Diego. If you're north of the 8, you're in a different kind of
Well, and what David has even said is that he believes it's, you know, you look at, he thinks the dividing line is the 94.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, I mean, I do, I guess the thing, no matter what it is that there is a difference. You know, what's funny is that, so the I'm a member of the San Diego County Young Democrats, and so we'd endorsed Myrtle, and we'd had a few walks for her, and I, you know, listening to people, they said that in her district, District 4, said they're walking on streets, dirt streets, mm-hmm. no sidewalks, and chickens and roosters walking around. Like they're in the, like they're out, you know, out in a farmland or something, and it's just like, but no, this is the city of San Diego.
Yeah.
So when you look at the, kind of these older communities that are neglected, is that the neglect, not only with comes with neglect, is that the actual neglect, meaning you're not getting the services and the infrastructure that's there, the roads, the sidewalks, but also, as you said, I think a division in communities.
Yeah, oh, big time. Big time.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
it's obvious. There's money. There's no money.
Yeah.
That's where it is. It's new homes, and then there's old homes, right?
Exactly. And,
how many of the streets don't have, I mean, I know kind of up over here by the trolley line on the other side, there's a lot of those. You get to just, you get some kind of ramshackle places and get some really nice homes, and then right next to that, you've got kind of sheds in a lot of way that people are living in, so. But yeah, nobody seems to be aware in a lot of ways what about those things, that there are, you know, still dirt roads in the city of San Diego.
Yes.
And it's not like way out in Encanto. It's not way out in Encanto. We are in Encanto, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not way out in the back
no, it's a part
East
of,
County. It's
part of the city of San Diego.
City.
No, so I think that's what, you know, something that the last, that what, that played well in the last mayoral election, what you're seeing people saying now is that, you know, neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. You know, taking the focus away from downtown, or I shouldn't say taking it just away from downtown, but putting focus on all the neighborhoods throughout all of San Diego, mm-hmm. and all of them.
Well, downtown, I mean, that's a whole different issue.
Yeah,
what's going on downtown? I mean, there's a lot of other problems there.
But I think that if you're talking about neighborhoods, what that's talking about is that, you know, integrating all the neighborhoods together. And I do think that in the future you'll see.
So is that a racial problem that he's going to have? Is he going to have a problem communicating to white Protestant San Diegans north of the 8, which is where I would put the line?
Yeah,
you
okay.
know, north of the 8, getting them to vote for him and getting them to think that, oh, okay, he's has my best interest at heart just as much as anybody else.
You know,
does he have a problem crossing that line?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think what you do is when you get to know David, and if he's able to introduce himself to the people north of the 8, then he's going to be good.
How many San Diegans are there? 1.5 million people? You can't shake that many hands.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think what it is that we've done an incredible job of getting the name out right now, and that's how we've been able to get, you know, why we're in the running for the second place. And so I think that now you turn the focus. You have to get over this big hurdle called the primary, on Tuesday. But
is there an election central this year, or is it just campaign headquarters for everyone? Because it's a special election. I haven't heard anything about anything.
You know, I don't know.
Any planning in Golden Hall?
I don't know. I just kind of assumed that there would be.
I think everybody just assumes because it's such a tradition here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, In fact, I didn't even see. I didn't. I'll have to look at that.
No other cities do that. It's one of the great. It's one of those things I love about San Diego. Actually, no other cities do that.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic to show up.
Yeah.
You know, you go down.
Anybody can show up.
You can, you know, grab your signs, come in with a bunch of people, hoot and holler.
Yeah, yeah. It's the best thing ever, man.
So it looks like
the room was too small.
Yeah.
The campaign office was too small. They only had like 15 chairs.
Yeah. Oh, now we got all this stuff.
We're going to run out of muffins.
No, this is fantastic.
All right. Yeah. I think I'm good.